Chazar zeichen neshul bachar chesel shagam b'mayim yehudim sechel b'sachem daf nun aleph. Zap the Gemara, the people of Chuzai had the minig to take challah from rice dough, which is really not chayiv and challah. Rabbi Yosef instructed the people to give the challah to a non-koyin to eat in front of the people of Chuzai to show them that they're wrong for taking challah from rice. Abaye is, the Braisa says that one may not paskin that something is mutter in front of people who have accepted that thing as being usr. So I was like, how can you give the rice challah to a non-koyin to eat in front of them? Rabbi Yosef said, Rav Chisda said that this halacha only applies to paskin in front of the kutim, because they're lax in their observance, and if they see that something that they consider usr is truly mutter, they'll say that other usr things are mutter as well, but it doesn't apply over here. Abaye asked, we should have the same concern for the people of Chazai. Rav Ashi said, we investigate. If most bread in Chazai is rice bread, then we can't permit the challah to be eaten by a non-koyin, even though the halacha is that challah is not taken from rice, because doing so may cause the entire concept of challah to be forgotten from these people. If, however, most bread is from the five grains, we do have a non-koyin eat the rice challah in front of them to prevent the people from separating challah from grains for rice, or vice versa, which can lead to tremendous problems. Fidek the Gemara of Chisda said that the rule against contradicting a minig applies only to kutim because they're unlearned people and may end up permitting things that are truly usur. Braisa says, two brothers may bathe together. However, in the place of Kavul, the custom was not to allow that. Once Yehuda and Hillel, the sons of Reb Gamaliel, bathed together in Kavul, and they were yelled at for doing so. They immediately separated from each other so as not to be in violation of that minig. We see that we don't violate minhagim even of people other than kutim. A similar story happened with them when they wore a certain type of shoe on Shabbos and Biri, which although mutter was subject to a minig that prohibited them in Biri. A similar story happened with Rabbi Gamaliel himself when he sat on Shabbos in Akoi on the chair where a goy typically conducts business. Although it's mutter, it was subject to a minig that prohibited it over there in Akoi. And again, he also prevented it, so he got off the bench so as not to be an issue. The Gemara says, since people from overseas or from outside, like in these three stories, or even if they're not overseas, another pshat is just that they're from places which they don't have many rabbanim among them, so these type of people also get confused, and we therefore have to treat them like kutim. The Gemara asked, the reason that you had the minig to prohibit sitting on the chairs of goyim because it looked like someone was sitting there to do business on Shabbos. The reason that the minig in Biri was to prohibit those types of shoes was because they were the type that easily fell off, and it may lead to one carrying them in Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos. But what was the minig, and what was the reason behind the minig for prohibiting brothers from bathing together? The Gemara explains that Braisa says that one may not bathe with his father, his father-in-law, his mother's husband, or his sister's husband, because it may lead to improper thoughts. Rabbi Yehuda allows bathing with one's father or mother's husband, in the case that they need his help, then it's allowed. The people of Kavul instituted the minig to prohibit brothers from bathing to strengthen the true iser of brothers-in-law bathing together. That's why they had this minig. Braisa says one may not bathe with his rebbe unless his rebbe needs his assistance. The Gemara says when Rabbi Baruch Hanna came to Babel from Eretz Yisrael, he continued to follow the custom of Eretz Yisrael, which allowed the eating of certain types of fats of an animal. In Babel, the minig was not to eat this, but in Eretz Yisrael they did, and he continued eating it even when he came to Babel. When Rabbi Avya Saba and Rabbi the son of Rav Huna visited him, he covered the fats to prevent them from seeing that he was not following their minig. Abaye told him he was treating you like kutim by purposely not allowing you to see that he was not following your minig. How was he allowed to eat these fats over here in Babel where the minig was not to eat them? We've learned that when going from one place to another, you have to follow the chumash of the place that you left and the chumash of the place that you're going to. So how could he have not followed the stricter minig of Babel? Abaye said that doesn't apply when traveling from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, because the rabbanim of Eretz Yisrael are considered superior and therefore don't need to follow the minhagim of Babel. Rashi gives a different terrace. He says you only have to follow the minig when you've traveled there and you don't intend on returning to your place of origin. Rabbi Rachana did intend to return to Eretz Yisrael and therefore didn't have to follow the customs of Babel as long as it was not in the open. Mar says Rabbi Rachana told his children not to eat those fats at all. He said that he who saw Rabbi Yochanan eat these fats may rely on that to eat the fats as well. However, they who only saw him eat it should not rely on him to eat it. This is contradictory to another statement of Rabbi Baruch Hanna, where he says that he heard in the name of Rav Shimon ben Yoisi ben Lekunya, who said that he who saw Rav Shimon ben Yochai take and eat the aftergrowth of cabbage on Shemitah can rely on him to eat such aftergrowth at any time. However, he told Rabbi Yochanan ben Elazar, you who have only seen me, Rav Shimon ben Yoisi, eat it, can only rely on me to eat it in front of me, but not elsewhere. The fact that he says you can rely on it at least to eat in front of him is different than he told his children, which the fact that he told his children, even if though you saw me eat it, still it's not enough for you to eat it even in front of me. The Mishnah said, Fact the Gemara, it's understandable to say that one who goes to a place with a more chumadik minig must follow that minig to prevent machloikis. However, if he's going to a place with a more lenient custom, meaning in a place where they do work on Erev Pesach, how can we tell him to work to prevent machloikis if he has to keep the more chumadik minhagim of where he came from? Abaye said, when the Mishnah says he must follow the minig to prevent machloikis, it's referring to the first case where he's going to a place where they don't work, so he should not work in such a place. Rava said, the Mishnah means to say that in the second case, there's no problem of causing machlokes, because when you don't work, when other people are working, people are not going to think that you're following a more stricter minig. Rather, they'll just say that you're a lazy person who doesn't have any work to do at all. Rav Safra asked Rabbi Abba, we who know when Rosh Chodesh is and truly don't need to keep 2 days of Yom Tov, surely we must keep 2 days of Yom Tov Sheni in public. However, when we're in private, do we have to still keep the second Yom Tov Sheni? Rabbi Ami said that it need not be kept when in private.